disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Today, we are talking about the topic, steadfast hope. Can we say that together? Steadfast hope. I read this before in the Bible, but you didn't make much spiritual sense of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. It says, now abides these three. Faith, hope, and love. Or another version says, three things we abide forever. You know, during the week I was listening to a message on Premier Radio, and I do listen to messages, and I encourage you to listen to messages. You can also go back to the church website and replay past messages from the church on different topics. It's important because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Your faith cannot increase just by prayer. Prayer can stimulate your faith, but the quantity of your faith, prayer can improve the quality, but the quantity of your faith is proportional to the quantity of the word that comes to you. I always tell you, I say, your smartphone is not just for Facebook and and WhatsApp and Twitter. Yeah? You know, some people like tweeting. Hallelujah. But that is a device that you can use to grow spiritually. Yeah? And so this man, this preacher was, and he's a great preacher, but he said something, but I didn't agree with it because I knew the word, but I know he didn't mean it that way. He said like, in heaven, you will not need faith. And if you walk like with your natural thinking, you may think so. He said, in heaven, you may not need hope, because after all, you're in heaven. So what hope do you need? But that you will always need love. Yeah? But that's not what the Bible said. The Bible said, three things we abide forever. Faith, hope, and love. What he meant to say is that the greatest of these is what? Love. Love is the greatest. You will see why love is greatest. Without love, you cannot have faith. Hallelujah. Without love, you cannot have faith. For your faith to grow, you need to understand that God loves you, and you need to receive that love. That is the foundation for your faith. So that when things come to shake your faith, you go back to love. Hallelujah. I say, if you're not established in love, your faith will falter. Because when the storms come to shake you, yeah, and your faith is faltering, you can revert back to what? Love. Hallelujah. Without love also, you can't hope. I always say that the Christian hope is not the worldly hope. The worldly hope is a wishful thinking. Are you with me? It's a wishful thinking. Like, for example, the weather forecast says, tomorrow it will be rainy and snowy with lot of sleet. Yeah? Then you are hoping there will be no snow. You are hoping it will not rain because it's your birthday party. You know what I mean? Yeah? That's wishful thinking. Now, sometimes it may come true. Yeah? There are times that the forecast is wrong. Isn't it? Yeah? You've dressed all warm. No jacket. And you step out. Everything was going well until 30 minutes later when you're far away from home. And then the clouds form. Okay? It can happen. It can happen, you know, that what looked to be going wrong can turn right. But it's not a steadfast hope. It's not a sure hope. It's wishful thinking. It's like when it's like playing the lottery. I listened to a message yesterday. It said, the chances that you go to the moon, yeah, the chance that you'll be chosen to go to the moon as an astronaut is greater than your chance of winning the lottery. Statistically. Just do the math. So if 1 billion if 1 million people play the lottery, your chance of winning is 1 over 1 million. Are you with me? Yeah. So, but the Christian hope is not wishful thinking. Go to Romans 5:5. Let me show you that Christian hope. So this is where we start from. And we can also show them from Romans 8 if we have enough time today. Romans chapter 5 verse 5. Let's interpret this scripture backward. What does it say? Romans chapter 5 verse 5. It said, this hope will not lead to disappointment. This Christian hope, there's a God kind of hope that is different from the human kind of hope. In fact, I've told you before in this church, the God kind of faith is different from human faith. Human faith is, I see it, I believe it. God kind of faith is, God says it, I believe it. The God kind of love is different from human love. Human love is, you are nice to me, I love you. God kind of love is selfless, sacrificial, giving, irrespective. You can love the person you don't like. That's God's kind of love. Amen? And the God kind of hope is different from human hope. Human hope is wishful thinking. But the God kind of hope is certain. Now, the Bible says that if you have the God kind of hope, it will not disappoint you. But you need to understand, why will it not disappoint? Because we know that many times we've hoped for things and we've been disappointed. Have you been there? Yeah? I'm sure we all have been there. You were hoping, you know, that your daddy will get you a birthday present. Of what? Sean, what birthday present were you hoping that your daddy will get you? Okay, I don't want you to say it, okay? Then, because then I'll be tired. And then, you know, it gets you something else. Yeah? Our hopes are let down from time to time in this world. People disappoint us. You know, someone walks into your life and they come with a lot of love. And you open up your heart to them, you know, and you believe that this is the best thing that ever happened to you. And next moment they filter away. You know, that's disappointment. You launch out into a business, you know, with the greatest point. People have told you that if you can just do this, you will make it. Yeah? You put in everything and the returns are little. Yeah? Or let me say this. You write a book and no one is buying it. You know? Hope can be, the human hope can be disappointed. You know? You were hoping, you know, that something will come true for you and it didn't come true. Okay? Human hope can be disappointed. It's part of being human. Amen? And in life, we go through disappointments or we go through storms. The Bible never said that as a believer, you will not go through storms. But the Bible says something. It said, I will be with you. It said, when you are passing through the waters, I will be with you. Shall I show you where it is? Somebody know? Let's go for it. Isaiah. You can use Google. I told you, that smartphone is not for fun. So when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Somebody find it for me. If you can find it before me. When you pass through, or when you go through the waters. Yes, who has found it? Isaiah chapter 43 verse 2. And I know exactly who is going to read it. Isaiah 43 verse 2. Now, that was not in my preparation. That's just a word from the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 43 verse 2. Please read.
When you go through deep waters.
When you go through deep waters.
I will be with you.
I will be with you. That's hope. Listen, that's hope. That's certain. Hello? When you're going through deep waters, it's not wishful thinking for you as a child of God to expect God to be with you. It's certain. Are you with me? The only reason why you will feel that God is not with you is because you didn't believe it. But He will. God does not change. Hello? He said, I am the Lord. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6. I change. No, I try to make people understand that one of the greatest attributes of God is that He does not change. So He's perfectly reliable. That's why the just shall live by faith. Because He doesn't change. He goes, I'll be here at 9 o'clock. He will be there. That's why you can believe Him. You see, people say something, you know, like, you know, sometimes you may be in a relationship or in a friendship with people and they've let you down. And then next time, you know, they tell you to do something and you are hesitating. And they tell you, like, don't you trust me? You have every right not to trust them. You trust them. To reproduce what they've done before. Hallelujah. If somebody has done something 9 times, you can trust them to repeat it the 10th time. So you are being foolish. Yeah? To expect them not to repeat it. Are you with me? Somebody has given you a deal 9 times. Expect it 10 times. But the fact that they will repeat it does not mean you should love them. You can love them. But you don't need to be foolish to become a victim again. Are you with me? But God says, because he doesn't change, when you pass through the deep waters, he will be with you. Believe me, God cannot change. People expect God to change. I always say, your fasting and praying cannot change God. If you want to walk with God, just find this word. Find what he has said and move to the right side of God. You will find him there. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Continue, sister.
When you go through rivers of difficulty.
Listen to that one. This is a higher level revelation now. Listen. Yes?
You will not drown.
Please, somebody give me that from the good old King James. So we come back to you, but I just wanted to show you what the good King James said. That's the second line. Yes? Please read it from the beginning. I just want to show you the contrast. Yeah, go on.
When thou passest through the waters.
When thou passest through the waters,
I will be with thee.
I will be with you.
And through the rivers.
And through the rivers,
they shall not overflow thee.
It shall not. Look, what I'm trying to show you here is another level of revelation. Because sometimes you just feel like, okay, yes, I know that God is with me. But I need more than that. Have you been there? You know? It's like, I know that God is with me. I know. But right now, I need something more than that. The next level is a guarantee that what you are going through will not destroy you. You know, it's one thing for God to be with you when you're going through something. But he said, I also guarantee that because I have allowed you to go through this, if you walk with me, I will see you through. This will not destroy you. Oh yes, it looks like it will. But he has guaranteed in his word that it will not. So that's hope. Amen? When I'm going through something, as a believer, no matter what I'm going through, in so long I'm walking with God, in so long what I'm going through is not my disobedience away from God. Even when I've disobeyed, so long I can go back to God. No, so remember, I was going somewhere, and then, you know, God said, go this way. I refuse to go that way. I continue to go the wrong way. So that's disobedience. Do you understand that? You know, God cannot guarantee you in disobedience. Amen? God guarantees you in obedience. But because you are human, from time to time, whether by commission or omission, you will find yourself where? In disobedience. He said, but the key is, even in your disobedience, so long you can come, turn back and say, God, I missed it. I'm in a mess. Yeah? The moment you do that, with you, guiding you back. It may not be the same route you took there. It may be a different route, but it will be with you. Even in that disobedience, so long you've turned back to God, the promise is sure again that it will not drown you. Hello, are you listening to that? Hello, are you listening to me? Anytime you approach 1 John 1:9, that says that if we confess our sins, and I explain to you, I say confessing your sin is not just opening your mouth and saying, I confess my sin, it's turning away. So when you confess, it means you've admitted it that is wrong. And if you've admitted that something is wrong, will you want to continue in it? No. You have not truly confessed your sins if you want to continue in it. But the moment you've done that, now you're in a mess. Whatever the mess. He said, I will, because that moment you've restored your relationship back to God, he is with you. Even in that mess, he promises that it will not drown you. Now that's hope. It means that when I find myself in a difficult situation, whether by commission or omission, what I'm trying to explain to you, it's not every situation you go through that is your fault. Hello, are you listening to me? It's not every situation that you go through that is what? Your fault. Situations you go through are other people's fault. Some situations you go through is the work of darkness. Some things that you're going through is hereditary, something that it's repeating in your family line that it was not your personal fault. For example, the Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. When did you start sinning as a baby? You inherited it from Adam and Eve. I was trying to explain to you, I said, you know, God created everybody, he's the creator. But you understand that God does not actually create each person. He has created the seed. You know, when you take a seed, you know, like what? Orange. You plant it, and then after a while, it grows. It's not God making that tree grow like as though directly. It's the law of God that makes it grow. But what makes the seed, the tree grow is that from the seed. The power for that tree to grow is in the seed. So God created Adam and Eve. Then we are all became reproduced or multiplied from them. Sometimes the problems they've carried could want to repeat in our own lives. Sometimes the features they've done could want to repeat in our own lives. Are you seeing that? That's why you cannot blame God and say, oh God, why did you create this person like this? No. He didn't create them like that. Some of the things you're seeing, they have inherited it. Are you listening to me? But thank God. Because the Bible makes us understand in Colossians 1, verse 13 and 14, it said we have redemption through his blood. It means that anything I inherited from my family, I don't know my great grandfather. Do you know yours? I don't know him. But there may be something in you that looks like him. Do you agree? Despite the fact that you don't know him. But Colossians 1:13 says, in whom we have, that's why we need redemption. Redemption that comes by the blood just redeems us from anything in our family line that is not good. Amen? Even the forgiveness of sin. Some people have sinned in the past and they were cursed. And generations later is suffering. But in Christ, we have what? Even the forgiveness of what? Of sin. Now, it doesn't belong to everybody. It belongs to those who believe it and receive it. Say, I believe. And I receive. I am redeemed. I will not labor under any curse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. And he has brought us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Amen. So when you are going through this, what did you call them again? The second line. Read the second line again.
When you go through rivers of difficulty.
Listen, you know, because if you read the King James, say deep water. Sometimes you don't know the meaning of deep water. You know, like my son, he knows how to swim. I don't know how to swim. I don't go into water. Except to have a shower. You know what I mean? It may not make sense to you. But the interpretation there is that rivers of what? Difficulty. Storms. Uncertainty. You know? Unpleasant situations. He is not saying just that he will be with you. He is guaranteeing you that if you are my child and you are willing to listen, you are willing to yield, it doesn't matter how far away you go in water. So long you are willing to yield and listen, he said it guarantees you that it will not drown you. That's hope. That means I know then I'm still in this water. I'm not out of it. But if I know that I will not drown, that's a good place to be. Amen? That's a good place to be. So you can see that your relationship with God through Jesus Christ is hope. You are guaranteed that no matter how life presents itself, you have this anchor that will keep you from drowning. Say, I will not drown. Say, I will not drown in life because I have Jesus. And I tell you something, it's not wishful thinking. It's certain because it's guaranteed by the word of God and by the integrity of God's character. Say it, they will not drown you. Amen. Hallelujah. Please finish it. Isaiah 43 verse 2. By the way, do you know that it's the same Isaiah 43 that you have? It will make a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. But please just finish 2 and we'll find that verse.
When you walk through the fire of oppression.
When you walk through the fire of oppression.
You will not be burned up.
You will not be burned up.
No,
listen.
The flames will not consume you.
Are you listening to me? He did not tell you that when you're going through the fire, you will not feel the heat. Hello, are you listening to me? That's not what the Bible said there. You may feel the heat. Yeah? You may feel the pressure. You may feel the frustration or the despair. But it guarantees that you will not be consumed. Now, when I know that, it helps me go through that situation knowing that, first of all, this is not going to destroy me. I'm going to make the most of it. And I'm going to come out better. Hallelujah. Did you finish it? Okay, let's stop there. I take you back to Romans, and I bring you back to Isaiah, then we finish. So I wanted to show you something. So I have explained Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Now let's go backward and look at Romans chapter 5. Please, someone now read it for me from verse 1. Romans chapter 5. Let's read verse 1 to 4. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. Because now 5 will make more sense. Okay, who is going to read? Someone who has not read today? Pinky, Sister Pinky, are you there? Abby, yes. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. Is now read this again, see what God will be telling you about steadfast hope. Remember, right now, today, I'm not talking about faith. I'm talking about hope. Hallelujah. Faith, hope, and love. Yes, go on.
Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God.
Yeah, amen. Now, we are going to verse 3. In verse 3 to 5, I want to explain now is why we have to go through any difficult situation at all in life. Despite the fact that we know that God can do it. Have you ever been in that situation whereby you're going to something, but you're asking yourself, but God can do it? I mean, like, if God wanted to, I mean, I was counseling someone yesterday. It was like a marriage. She was looking forward to us married, and I know that God will give her breakthrough, you know. I got involved because I felt, you know, it's been a long wait, yeah. And I know in her heart, you're like, who could have done this, you know, 10 years ago? So why did I have to go 10 years waiting and I'm still here? You know, have you ever asked that question? Why do I have to wait when God could have done it on day one? So verse 3, 4 and 5 will tell us why. Please read it.
Not only so, but we also glory in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us.
Amen. Amen. Okay, let's add that from another version, maybe New Living Translation. No? Yes. Hopefully, that's the last place I'll open this morning. So I begin to round up, God, darling. Yes, verse 3 to 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 5.
We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials.
Listen to what the Bible is saying there. Now, that looks anti-logic. It says, I can rejoice when I run into problems and trials. I don't know about you, but I don't like to rejoice when I'm going through any difficult time. I don't know how super spiritual you are. You know, but when there's difficult and trial, I don't like it. Even a car breaks, I don't like it. go on.
For we know that they help us develop endurance.
Listen to that. Now, this is not something you may hear, you know, in a happy-go-lucky church that tells you that, you know, when you come to know Christ, everything just going to fall in place. Actually, it's true, but it's not easy as it's being presented. It's true. But you need to understand that things falling in place doesn't mean you don't go through any hard time in your life. Are you listening to that? Because there is something hard times do to us that no other thing can do. I listened to a message yesterday, and it was this preacher, and he said something. It was like, who is your best? He was asking his son, who is your best teacher in school? And the son thought for him, he said, "Dad, it depends on what you mean. If you mean who is the teacher I had the most fun with, that's very different from who is the teacher I learned the most from." Hello? You can have a lot of fun with a teacher and learn nothing. Hello? So they've massaged your emotions, but they taught you nothing. Hallelujah. Please continue. Did I take the mic?
No.
Yes, please continue.
And endurance develops strength of character.
Look at that. So, start from the beginning again.
Okay. We can read.
No. Tribulation, the first one.
Okay. For we know that it helps us develop endurance.
What? What helps us develop endurance? Trials.
Trials. Problems and trials.
Problems and trials. The reason why God allows problems and trials in your life. Anyone at all, whether spiritual or physical or financial or emotional or marital or legal or whatever. Because God is not the author of your problems and trials. Yeah? Some problems and trials come to your life because of your own fault. Some come to your life because of the devil or bad other people in your life or other people that you don't know their fault. Like, for example, someone in government does not do what they need to do and nobody picks the bin for 2 weeks. Okay? It's not your fault. You took out the bin. Somebody else's fault. But you are suffering the consequence. Yeah? Problems can arise in our life because of many different reasons. Including our own fault. But not all our own fault. But they could never happen. Nothing can ever happen if God didn't allow it. And the fact that God allows something in your life does not mean He does not love you. You know why? Because although God can do all things, God limits Himself to His word and His character. Hello? Listen to that. God can do all things, but God does not do all things. Hello? Are you listening to that again? God can do all things, but God does not do all things. For example, God does not take out your bin. You see that? If you like, fast and pray. The bin will be there. It could have been much easier for you to go to your neighbor and ask them to help you take it out. Are you with me? It does not, because it limits itself to His word and His character. So God will always act according to His word and according to His character. Although, included in God's character is His mercy. Amen? But God's mercy is His prerogative. It's the nature of mercy. Mercy is always by discretion. Are you listening to that? So, the reason why you go through problems and trials, that Bible is telling you now, is so that you can develop what? What? Endurance. Somebody has to say endurance. That endurance is something that you can't learn from the pulpit. Say, oh, sister, you need to be patient. Say, yes, I really want. You start praying, God, I really want to be patient. Then you are driving. Oh no, you're walking and somebody splashes you rainwater. You know, you prayed. Say, God, teach me what? Patience. There's no way God will teach you patience except you go through something. You learn patience through problems and what? Trials. But again, you ask yourself, but why do I have to learn patience? Why do I have to endure anything? Because, what? Endurance, what does it do?
Endurance develops strength of character.
Ultimately, I want to tell you, the heartbeat of God is not just to give you everything you want at the press of a button. So like maybe somebody is praying, Lord, I need a wife. God wants to give you a wife. It's His perfect will, it's in the Bible. But that's not all God wants to give you. He wants to give you the character to be able to live well with that wife. So that marriage will glorify Him. Because in all your situations, God is seeking to be glorified. Someone say, I need a job. I can prove it to you in the Bible. It's God's perfect will. To supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. Is it there? Bible even says, promotion does not come from the north or the south or the east or where. It comes from who? The Lord. So even when you're praying for promotion, it's God's perfect will. But that's not all God wants to give you. He wants you to give you the character so that when you get that job, both how you work and the money you earn, you have the character to use it to honor God and glorify God. Are you with me? You want God to deliver you from the lion's den. Yeah? Have you ever thought to yourself that Why is it only people like Daniel that God delivered from the lion's den? You know there have been other Christians that fed into lions. Have you even in the Bible, in Acts, it's not written, but we read from the church history that, you know, Emperor, is it Nero or whatever, fed many Christians to lions. And this time around, the lion finished them. And so what do you think about it? God delivered Daniel from lion's den, but he left these other people, who are even New Testament believers, to be consumed by lions. It's because it's a purpose in this situation. In every situation, God wants to be glorified. The primary reason why God wants to deliver you from your problem is that he will take the glory. Yep. When God delivers you from your problem and he has not taken the glory, you are back to your old ways. Nothing has been gained. You just suffer for nothing. You gained nothing because you didn't develop any character. I don't know if you are with me. Are you with me, church? Or am I losing you? Anything you go through, if you just go through and you were delivered, nothing changed in your life, in your character. Yeah, it was a waste of time. As far as heaven is concerned. God, the bigger issue from man's point of view, all we want is the blessing and the deliverance and life go easy. I want it too. I want it. I know. Hallelujah. You are not the only person. Amen. And I wish it for you as I wish it for myself. But from God's perspective, God wants you to develop character. It's his biggest goal in your life. Hello? You know, if God was to make a prayer for you, like God is praying for something he needs, what he will pray for you is that you can develop what? Character. Because when you have character, he can use you for his glory. And that doesn't mean being a pastor. It means that job will glorify him. You have character to carry it through, both the way you work and what you do with your money. It means that marriage will glorify him. Because now you have the character to carry it through. It means that, you know, the way you go about any other thing will glorify him. And you know, this Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 8, he said, this is how my Father is glorified, that you bear fruit. Amen. Are you with me? That's why he ever allowed us to go through anything. You learn obedience through anything you suffer. You learn character. Endurance produces what? Character. So you see, from God's point of view, the greatest thing God wants to give you is character. Because when you have the character, he can use you. Amen? And by the way, I'm not saying you don't have character. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that there's always a higher level of character that God wants to develop in you. Amen? Today, you know, we ran late for the church, for setting up. And we were about 20 minutes late. And when I got here, to my utter amazement and the keys, the doors were locked with an extra key. We couldn't get in. And we're already running late. Okay? And the other day, I already had the center complaining to me about another era who was not happy with us. And I was trying to say that the main things we endure, that we don't complain. And so I make this phone call and I say, you know, call to the caretaker, you know, this situation. But we still waited almost another 20 minutes before. So 9:40 before we started setting up. And as I saw her walking in, you know, a part of me called the flesh. You know the flesh? We all have what? The flesh. Wanted to start off on a tangent, yeah? And give something to her. You know what I mean? Something. You know, something that she will remember. That we look 40 minutes. Are you going to refund us? We can start from there, yeah? But I find another part of me, which is the spirit. Amen? And the renewed mind. You know, I just smiled. Because right now, at that moment, she's not going to change my situation. I need to get this church set up. She's not going to set up that job for me. Yeah? And the refund she's going to give me is nothing compared to what God wants to do. I just smiled. And then, when she opened up, I said, thank you. I just laughing at myself. I don't take pride in it. It's the work of God in me. I can't take pride in it. I laugh at it. I said, what that mean? That's what God wants to develop. But he develops it through problems and what? Trials. Amen? Please finish it and we finish there. Finish the reading. Let's finish.
And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation.
Amen. And verse 5.
And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts.
Hallelujah.
With his love.
Amen. The only reason why you have the courage to go through anything you're going through and not begin to misbehave or be frustrated in the midst of that trial is because you know that God loves you. You know that you have received His love. You know that He cares about you. You know that you will not drown. He guarantees it. It's a guarantee. I'm telling you for sure, it's a guarantee. No matter what you are going through, if you are a child of God, He will see you through. And you will not drown. And He will bring you out. Hallelujah. He will what? He will bring you out. But God's ultimate goal is that you've learned something that will make you a bigger blessing. Anytime as a child of God you go through a hard time, that's God's way of promoting you. I'm sure. Anytime God wants to promote you, because basically, when God wants to bring you to a higher blessing, He has to do something to your character. A stronger character in God to maintain a higher blessing. Hey, listen to me. And then He allows you to go through the hard time, but He's trying to develop your character. Because when you come out of that time, He's going to move you into a bigger blessing. Hallelujah. Let me tell you one more thing and we're under there. The faster your character is developed, the shorter the trial. Amen? You know, it's like a goal. It's like somebody set an exam for 3 hours and somebody is super smart. They go in and they finish all the questions right for 30 minutes. They can walk away. Provided they won't go and tell others the question. Are you with me? They finished. Unless I mean that they finish, they pass. They don't need to stay. Hallelujah. When I've learned everything God wants to teach me in the presentation is finished. It lost its usefulness. That's where I can shorten any trial. The way I can shorten any trial in my life is to be open to God and yield to Him and just receive everything He has to teach me through what I'm going through. Rather than just saying, you know, I'm going to do it my own way. I'm going to, you know, I will never change for anybody. You know, that prolongs trial. Yeah? There are some things that are just not palatable. Things that you go through and you know that I don't want to take this. But when you take it, you learn faster. You develop character. And I assure you, and I know that from my personal experience, that when I develop character through hard times, when I come out, I enter into a bigger blessing. Hallelujah. Because now my capacity has been enlarged. Amen? Let's stop there. And so remember that hope, your hope in God is because of Jesus. Those who don't have Jesus or who have no God in their life, they have no hope. They have what? No hope. But you, even if nothing else is looking good in your life, you have Jesus. You have what? A hope that cannot fail. You know what you understand? I say He guarantees me that even if I'm going to deep waters, they will not drown me. It's a guarantee. That means that He's still watching me. You know, it's like somebody who's trying to swim and you're the father or the parent. But you're seated there, you're watching them. Yeah? You allow them to struggle. It looks like to them, they look like they're drowning, but you are watching. And before they drown, you step in. Are you with me? He guarantees that. Now, why doesn't He step in before? Because He wants you to learn something good that you can use in your life. Hallelujah. Let's stop there. Let's rise up and just talk to God this morning. And what I want you to talk to God is, I want you, you know, one of the greatest things we need to repent of in life is unbelief, you know. When you just, you know, when you've lost faith in God, or when you're bitter with God, don't be bitter with God. God is not your enemy. I'm 100% certain. The enemy is the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Yeah? And sometimes we fall into the hands of the enemy because of our own, you know, prejudice or pride. But God is not your enemy. So today, just repent every way, Lord, that I've not believed you or that I've thought, you know, I've been bitter against you. Repent of it. Say, just what you want to confess to God. Say, even where I am today, I trust you. Thank you for the promotion that is coming my way. That's it. Because basically, you go to any other time, it's God's opportunity for you to develop something that will release you into a greater blessing. So thank Him in advance for the promotion or the blessing or the, you know, look at that. Look at your desired goal. It's your place of higher blessing. And that's what God is programming you for. So say, Father, I trust in you. My hope is in you. And I thank you. Because you are taking me to that higher place. And I also yield to you. Anything you want to teach me. Anything you've been trying to teach me. But I have been distracted or I have refused to learn. Help me. I want to learn fast. I want to yield. I want to yield to you faster. So that I can move to my place of higher blessing faster, quicker. I yield to you. That's the place to be. The place of yieldedness. And I tell you something. God will see you through. Say just, I say, God will see me through. God will take me over. Will make a way. Even where there seems to be no way. The rivers will not drown me. I will not drown. I will not drown. I will come through. And I will enter my bigger blessing. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.